In an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. Dorothy used that MC last week, actually, and evidently it comes from you. And here it is, Master of Change. Well, you know, I thank you. I'll accept. I'm certainly working hard on that, and I know that so many people are too, and they're all helping me, and I'm helping them, and we're all helping each other, and so many people are helping so many people. It's just a wonderful thing. And it's so cool to be connected again with the world by doing this radio show, because I get emails from all over, and we all do here, the producers, and it's fun that we get to have people tell us what they feel when they hear our show. And gosh, actually, I should read some of that stuff. I didn't even think about it. Something we got recently, a couple of them really brought tears to my eyes, at least, to know that we are having that much of an effect on people. But one thing that I did print to read was something that was sent to me from Italy. And I thought this played out really well for our – would play out really well for our show today, because we've got some great guests. We've got the Green Children. And they are two amazing individuals that I'm so happy that we all had the chance to just meet recently. And we've got Mila and Marlo on a little later on, and they're here in the studio with us, so that's always exciting. And I don't think we've ever had two people at the same time, so this will be fun. So what I got in the mail from Italy was I don't know who sent it, but listen to this. Just I think you'll know where I'm getting at when I read this. It's locals force priest to ring bells. Angry residents bang pots and pans to get chimes back. That's the headline. So in Medzema, Italy, August 12th, a village priest who stopped ringing the church bells to appease a jittery tourist began chiming them again on Wednesday when residents came out in the streets to bang their pots and pans in protest. Father Alfredo De Simoni had caved in to the request of the town's single tourist, one tourist, who in need of a good night's rest had asked him a few days ago to still the bells from 10 p.m. till at least 8 a.m. But the 85 residents of the Ligurian hilltop town of Medzema were accustomed to waking up with the sound of the bells at 7 a.m. They balked at the move and decided to take action, plastering the town with protests and banners and leaflets. On Sunday, they all boycotted Mass. Still, De Simoni could not be swayed. But when the locals rose up in unison to clank their kitchenware, he finally got the message. When the bells rang on Wednesday morning, everyone came out to celebrate. I think that is so great. First of all, it was one tourist and 85 residents in this town. I can't even imagine a town that small. And how they changed the law and made it happen. And I think that's great. And that's what one person can do, getting together with another person and coming together and saying, this needs to change. And so it reminds me of a friend of mine who used to live in Canada would on occasion tell me the story, because he was from Canada, and he would say, no, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. And I'd say, sure it does. That's the way business works, or that's the way it is in America, or what's wrong with this? And he'd say, what's wrong with this, whatever it was in particular, is that the people are slighted. The people get the short end of the stick, don't you understand? And the corporation or the law, for some reason, is benefiting just the few. And I'd say, well, but what could people do? And so he would tell me this story of a an amusement park somewhere in Canada. I don't even remember where it was, but it was an amusement park that was locally owned, and people used to come on Sundays and weekends, and they'd bring their families, and it was a place where everybody gathered, and they'd bring food, and they'd eat there, and it was just a really, it became the social thing for the town. And then this big conglomerate megapolis corporate whatever it was that owned a bunch of other amusement parks elsewhere in the world decided, oh, this is an amusement park that we want. And so they bought that and they changed all the rules. You couldn't bring in your own food. You couldn't come in at a certain time. You had to, and they changed the price to more than double or whatever it was. And the people revolted. They all got together and they said, no, we need to come in with food and we don't want to pay more than this much. And people stopped going, and they stopped other people from going, and they boycotted it. And finally, the corporation conceded to the people. And I'm not against big business. I'm not against business at all. But I really like that story, because there had to be a new model where the company can still make money and still keep the business running, and the people could still have their way of life as they saw they wanted it. And what a beautiful thing that people were doing, getting together and all that stuff. So why take that away from the people because a corporation thinks that that's a place that they could make money? And maybe they're right. Maybe that is a place that they could make money, but maybe there's a new model and a new way of doing things. And so that, I think that is a perfect introduction to the new model that our guests are bringing to the world of music. And so what a great introduction to, here are two people showing us that one person or two people can get together and really make a difference in the world. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guests. Together they're known as the Green Children. I like that. And they're Mila and Marlo are already clearing their throats. You're not going to sing for us, are you? Mila and Marlo, and they are a musical group. And they, one of them sings, Mila sings, and Marlo plays a bunch of instruments and produces as well. And so what about them? Well, since they formed the Green Children Foundation in 2006, both Marlo Bevan and Mila Sundy have been working with 2006 Nobel Peace Prize recipient Professor Mohamed Yunus, who established the Grameen Bank to help reach the youth of the world and create awareness through their music and to raise money for global issues such as poverty and substandard health care and lack of education. Now listen to this. The Green Children's recent fundraising with their DVD and CD entitled Hear Me Now that was released in Norway a couple years ago sold 100,000 units and raised over $500,000, which was donated to build the first eye clinic in Bangladesh, where over 1.8 million people are forced into blindness due to eye cataracts. The monumental eye clinic, which opened in May 2008, is already performing cataract surgeries where the operations have been made available and affordable to the afflicted poor in Bangladesh. And that is due to a large part thanks to the Green Children, Mila and Marlo, for doing what they do. And we're going to find out more about that and how they are changing the world in their way. Let's see. The song is "Hear Me Now." You're going to get to hear a little bit about the song and the song a little later. But they've got so many songs coming and so many projects. Actually, why don't we just bring them on and let them talk about it right here? So we welcome to the show, Mila and Marlo.
Hello.
I'm so glad. Actually, you're going to have to speak up because you have such beautiful, delicate voices. And we're so glad you're here.
Thank you. We are glad to be here.
Actually, not just here. We're glad you're here in the world.
that's very kind. Likewise.
That's nice to hear.
and so true, because you're out there doing something that, in your opinion, it's interesting how originally you didn't want this interview, in a sense, because you don't want to give the spotlight to what you're doing. You're so humble and beautiful, and yet, in a way, by giving the spotlight and drawing attention to you, it does help draw attention to what you're doing and helps focus people on it.
Yeah, that's why we're here. I mean, it's not really about us getting credit for what we do, but if this interview and doing these talk shows can help shine light on people who are less fortunate, then it's definitely worth doing.
Well, you know, I could certainly tell from the moment we met, and actually the people that brought us to, what was his name, Antoine? And
I'm not sure.
Do you remember
Antoine?
Yeah, Antoine. He wrote us about you and said, "Hey, you must meet these people," and was so excited that right away we got on it, and here we are.
He's a connector.
He's a connector, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so he was telling us, and now we've gotten to experience ourselves. You're both very humble. You're just you're very magnanimous. You've got great energy. So obviously, we know that it's not. You're trying to get all the attention here. So let's put that aside.
All right.
We know that.
Okay.
And now let's give attention to what it is that the Green Children are all about. Now, mm-hmm. you started in 2001 as friends, meeting at the music school in Liverpool, Paul McCartney's music school. Mm-hmm. So what were you all studying?
Songwriting was the main thing for both of us. But I got in as a singer. And Tom Marlowe got in as
mainly as a guitar player. Yeah, it's a really cool school. So we came there maybe with one skill that we thought we would develop, and then there was all these cool classes. And songwriting is what we maybe concentrated on the most, certainly together.
We were definitely meant to work together. It was kind of a funny story the way we met. First songwriting class, I came quite late to class, and everyone had partnered up to do a song together, and poor Marlo here hadn't gotten a partner, but lucky for me, since I stumbled in the door, we got naturally put together, and we've been working ever since. It just was such a beautiful fit.
Well, lucky for us, because we've got Hear Me Now and a bunch of other songs already and more to come. So now I know that you've been working with other people before and that wasn't right, but what felt right about this?
Well, first of all, there's very seldom that you meet a person that sees the world through the same eyes as you. And me and Marlo, we see everything the same, and we all also care about using our talents and our art to for a bigger purpose than just,
Self-expression
or whatever.
Well, self-aggrandizement,
yeah.
I think, is what you're trying
to
say.
Exactly.
Well, you you started out, it's not like, oh, let's do, first of all, let me just say this. We know that this is not, let's do this so we can get attention for us. And we talked about that. So, but you didn't say, hey, we could do this thing together. You both were kind of born thinking you're here to do something for the world.
Yeah, I suppose our favorite artists and the people who inspired us when we grew up were people who were doing similar things, who were using music for a bigger purpose, who were connecting with the audience or raising awareness about the cause they cared about. So for us as musicians, that's who we wanted to be as well. So we knew when we got together and started writing songs that we wanted to focus some of that energy and creativity on creating those types of songs.
Yeah, and it's just naturally for us. I mean, we're very sensitive people, and we care about animals and people and the well-being of the planet. So it's just naturally for us to try and do what we can best to make it a better place.
And where are you from, Mila?
I'm from Norway, from the west coast. I grew up in a beautiful small town called Arlesen, which is surrounded by tall, tall mountains and deep valleys and beautiful forests. So I'm inspired by that, very inspired.
Well, you obviously speak the language.
Yes.
And would you like to say something to any of your relatives who might be listening in your language? We'd love to hear it.
Okay. I would definitely like to say something to my grandmother, sweet grandmother. Kjære Ole, hvis du hører på nå, så ønsker jeg at du har det veldig bra, savner det masse, håper at vi ses snart igjen.
Well, I don't know what you said, but it's beautiful. It will warm her heart because it warmed mine, so the energy comes through. Marla, where are you from?
I'm from a town called Warwick, which is it's a very charming English town with a big castle in the middle, 1,000 years old, and lots of old buildings. It's kind of, yeah, traditional England, as you may see it in the movies. Shakespeare was born nearby, and so I was fortunate to grow up in a very inspiring place as well.
And what language do they speak where you come from?
It's English, yeah, so I've got no, I don't deserve any praise there, I'm afraid.
No, actually, no, you speak English very well, I should say.
Okay, I'll take that compliment. My Norwegian isn't so good, yeah.
Is there anybody you want to say hello to in your native language?
Sure, I mean, if my parents are listening somewhere, then of course I would like to say hello. And actually, they're coming to LA soon, so...
very good.
Looking forward to seeing you. Me too.
Have you met them before?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they
beautiful
are.
People.
So, okay, so now you two beautiful people connect in 2001. You start writing songs, and then you how did you hook up with Mohamed Yunus? And actually, let's have one of you share a little bit about who he is first, because we know he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner in 2006, and in 1976 he started the Grameen Banks. But tell us a little bit more about that.
We've been so fortunate to meet this man. It's been a great inspiration to us, and his story is incredibly interesting. He grew up in Bangladesh as a Bangladeshi boy, traveled the world, saw the differences that existed, and when he went back to Bangladesh, he was trained as a professor, and he was teaching theories about economics in his classroom. And whilst he was doing that, he looked out the window, and there was actually a famine in Bangladesh at the time, and he felt that all these elegant theories and things he'd learned didn't really make sense in his own country. Mm. So he decided, okay, you know, how can I help these people? What's the quickest way to help improve their situation? And he took some money out of his own pocket, and he gave it to some poor women, a group of poor women. And he thought, okay, just take this money, you know, and see what you can do. And what he was surprised was these women, because they all have crafts and abilities and ways to make money, but they had no access to any kind of funds. So he was surprised when they came back, they gave him the money, and he thought, wow, you know, if this can work with such a small group, then it can work with many more. And the short story is he lent money to more and more people, tried to get the banks interested, none of them would help him, and eventually started his own bank for poor mm-hmm. people. And now it has 7 million borrowers, all of whom have improved their lives. And it's an incredible.
And some of them are borrowing, like, very little money, like, mm-hmm. like for still $40 or $100,
yeah,
right?
And these women are, like, so good at managing their money. They don't waste a penny, and the money they get back, they make sure that their kids get a good education, that they get fed, and which was really inspiring for us was meeting these women who can't even write their own name. And yet, we meet their kids who are fluently in English, are starting to be doctors, and like they're so the difference in just one generation was so optimistic. You know, when we saw that we were like very hopeful.
And all because of one man, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great leader, and he's definitely inspired so many people in Bangladesh. But definitely, all the people within Grameen Bank as well. There's a lot of heroes there who were with him in the beginning, his students who helped him, and the women themselves, who are, of course, the biggest heroes that are really, you know, using their talents and believing in themselves, which is a difficult thing to do, you know. When people grow up in poverty, you know, they often feel very unworthy, and they don't have a lot of pride. So these loans have not only helped them, you know, improve their lives, it's also given them great confidence to succeed, and that kind of that's probably the most inspirational thing that we saw. The smile, you know, they would smile happily at us, while as women who maybe had only lent a little bit of money were quite shy still. So it made such a difference to, you know, the culture and to the happiness in general.
So you all were looking for a cause to actually, no, you wanted to help him, or
well, I mean, since a kid, I mean, I know Thomas by talking when we met, that we both as kids, and since we've been growing up, like,
and let me just clarify real quickly, you know him well, you call him Tom, but
he's
Tom Marlowe, right?
Yeah, so Tom Marlowe is his name, but yeah. You prefer going by your middle name, but
and I like that. Mila and Marlowe, I think it's perfect.
No, I know,
just didn't want anybody to be confused. Yes. When you said Tom,
yeah.
Who's Tom?
I know,
is there somebody
sorry.
Out there?
Tom, okay. I'm going to call you Tom Marlowe.
So since you were kids,
yeah. So we've been wanting to help people, when we met, we were kind of looking for cars that really like spoke to us or a calling, and we came across microcredit through the web. We were researching and we got really interested in it, and we knew a guy who had worked a lot with it, and he sent us lots of books and videos of Muhammad, and we were just, after watching and doing research, we're like, okay, this is something we really want to be a part of and help, you know, bring out to more people.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to go over to Bangladesh and look at these microcredit finance institutions with our own eyes. And then Muhammad Yunus was in Bangladesh at that moment, in that time.
There's no coincidence, is there?
and he was such a humble, friendly guy. We had dinner with him. We asked him, what can we as musicians do to help you? And the first thing he kind of said is that we really, he'd been struggling with finding finances for a hospital in Bangladesh, and there's such a big problem with blindness there because of malnutrition and the strong sun. The combination of that creates like cataract in very early ages. He's like, well, if you can maybe help, maybe raise some money for that or do something, then that would be fantastic. And yeah, we set that at our mission. And at that time when we were meeting him, we didn't know that he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize or anything, you know. So we were really shocked. So we went home and we were like, okay, we need to shine a light on what he's done. We need to shine a light on him through our music and do what we can do to really give honor to this man. And when we were finished with the video and stuff, we started hearing rumors that he was nominated. And then he got the Nobel Peace Prize, and, you know, we were like, whoa, we've been having dinner with this guy, we have him on a music video, we just felt so honored, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure he felt honored too.
Yeah, he's a humble man, he's awesome. So, yeah, that's kind of a short story of that.
And the video that he's on is Hear Me Now.
Yes, Hear Me Now, you can download it for free on YouTube.
You can download the video for free from our website, which is thegreenchildren.com or thegreenchildren.org, both websites. And the video is free. If people choose to buy the song on iTunes or Amazon as a download, then 50% of the proceeds go to a new lending institution in India together with Whole Planet Foundation. It's really about spreading awareness. So if you want to download it and spread it to as many people as possible, that's the purpose.
So the first $500,000 that you all made went to the building of the hospital.
Yeah.
And so that's now complete and open as of 2008 and helping already lots of people. So now what was the second project you're saying? In India, there's a school?
Right now, yeah. So we've established this hospital, and that's the important thing about that is it's kind of a self-sustaining model. So they charge a little bit for the operations on a sliding scale, and for people who can't afford, they give it for free. But what it allows is the people working there, the doctors, for the funds to be sustainable and for the hospital to run without continual donations. So that's up and running and good to go now. And then right now we're raising some funds for a new lending institution that's being set up in India, similar to what's been done in Bangladesh,
right,
for a group of women. So we're kind of raising funds for startup capital there. So that's the kind of project with him, you know, this time around.
And you're working with Whole Planet, you said?
Yeah, Whole Planet Foundation, which is Whole Foods Markets Foundation. They have very similar goals to us. They've done amazing work. They're lending money in Costa Rica, Guatemala, Colombia, India, lots of other places, and they're just continuing to grow. And it's a great for us to partner with someone like that who's making a real difference.
Well, what's beautiful about this, too, is it's not that you're just giving money and giving food. It's almost like that story we have here in America about giving the teaching the Indians how to grow corn.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's another story.
That's the Bible, yeah.
In the Bible, that's
yes.
Right. Teach them how to fish. So, and so that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
In more ways than one, obviously.
Yeah, it's the same with the Grameen Bank, the Bank for the Poor. It's totally self-sustainable, so it doesn't accept any donations. It doesn't need to. The loans are paid back with a small amount of interest, which covers the costs, mm-hmm. so that the people working for the bank can continue to survive as well. And mm-hmm. it's just like, it's the best method. It's creating a small economy within the country, which is how all our, you know, countries that are reasonably successful and prosperous, that's how they're doing it. So it's really important to start small enterprises and promote that in other countries in addition to, you know, other ways of helping.
Now, in a moment, we're going to hear me now. Mm-hmm. And I've been singing it all day, by the way.
Oh,
I mean, because I knew you were coming now. I've heard it for now a couple of weeks, and so I've been singing it off and on. But today mm-hmm. is the day that I got to spend time with you, and so I've been singing Hear Me Now.
Yay.
I'm just getting into it.
Okay.
So people will be able to help raise money by actually buying the song.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned it, but I want to say it again.
Yeah.
And that's on iTunes.
On iTunes and Amazon and all the major digital downloads, okay. like Napster and all these. So wherever you get your digital download, it will be there to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we're giving 50% of anything we make to this new project. So, yeah, I mean, it's 99 cents. You know, if you can afford that, then you'll get a good song and you'll help some people.
Is there a way also for people that want to give more than 50 cents?
Sure, yeah. We accept donations through our foundation website, which is thegreenchildren.org. Our foundation's very small, so it allows us to, anything people donate, 100% goes to the cause, because we don't have administration costs,
right.
and we're musicians, and that's how we're earning a living. So our foundation side doesn't cost anything, which is very nice for people if they want to. You know, I've always felt a bit disappointed when I found out that my $20, that only maybe $5 goes to the cause. So if people give to us, at least they're assured that all their money's making a difference.
Right. Okay. Well, let's hear the song now. Mila, you're singing,
mm-hmm.
and Marlo, you're playing.
I'm playing a few different things on it because I produce a lot on it, so I'm doing some piano and other things. And we got some cool musicians on there too on this one. So.
And in the video, you're playing this little keyboard, like a little organ,
yeah.
with a little boy that's next to you. I mean, it's adorable.
Yeah.
It's just really sweet.
Yeah.
And you're dancing around with the these are actual women that have.
Yeah, these are all the people featured in the movie are the lenders of microcredit, and they're kids.
And actually, and Muhammad Yunus is in it as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, you won't be able to hear, you won't be able to see the video unless you go to the website, thegreenchildren.org and .com, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you'll get to hear a taste of the music right now. Here's Hear Me Now, Mila and Marlo, The Green Children.
Changing place, she knows no greater wonder.
And that's the Green Children, Hear Me Now. And we've got Mila and Marlo of the Green Children in the studio right now. And we were listening to this top hit. Very exciting. Now, who wrote what on this?
Sometimes we have quite like separate roles, but this one, I think both the music and the lyrics, we're like 50-50. I can't really remember who did what at all.
Yeah, it was definitely a collaboration.
Yeah.
I can remember during our first trip to Bangladesh, we got this picture taken of Mila and this particular borrower woman. I mean, it was just an amazing photo, you know, two women probably around the same age, smiling, looking happy, but from totally different backgrounds and cultures. And we had this picture in front of us when we were sitting on the piano, and that was kind of like the inspiration. And and funnily enough, when we went back to Bangladesh, we found this woman again, and she's part of the video. So it was a nice kind of 360. Mm. It felt like the right thing.
You know, some songs, they just channels. They're just like, you don't even have to think. You just put the pencil in your hand and it just writes by itself, and this was one of those songs.
Mm. And basically it's telling the story of what's happening down there, what you're all doing, what he's doing, right?
It's primarily focused on the pride that the women had, you know, see me now, see what I've achieved, you know, believe in me, you know, and I'll show you. And a lot of people, when Mohammed even started the bank, they just didn't believe him. You can't lend to poor people. They'll never pay it back. They'll spend it. They'll do whatever. And he believed as well. So it's partly for him, you know, Hear Me Now. He's been, you know, preaching this for 25 years, you know, and in the beginning it was very difficult for anyone, to get anyone to believe what he was saying. So it kind of encompassed all that.
Wow. Well, the world is listening to him now. I know that he's requested all over. I mean, not just because of the Peace Prize, but in business schools, they're listening to him.
That's wonderful.
And that's exciting. And the world is listening to you all. And it's exciting to me to be sitting here with you all, knowing that very shortly you'll be so busy singing all over the world all these beautiful songs and bringing attention and doing good work more and more, because it's just who you are. And so it's very exciting to me. And I also know that you're both, again, very humble, and you're not big on the celebrity thing and drawing attention yourselves. And so that you're going to be really selective with your interviews, and that we got one of the first, and who knows, maybe one of the last.
Yeah.
But it's very special to have you both here.
Well, it's very nice to be here. Kevin. This room is just unbelievable. I wish the people listening to this radio show could be in this room with me, because there are beautiful stones and crystals everywhere. I mean, it's just coming into like this magical cave.
Thank you for saying that. We have a really special studio here that actually Dorothy Lee, the audience knows, has created. And it is a really special place, and we get to receive really special people here. And so not only do we have you here, we are going to be able to hear you on Wednesday singing Hear Me Now and another song live at our live event in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so those of you who are not familiar with the live events that we do in Los Angeles, and if you're in the area, by all means go to www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Changes with Filippo, and it's my name spelled F like Frank, I L like Larry, IPPO.com. That's lifechangeswithfilippo.com. And come this Wednesday, you'll get to see the Green Children and hear them sing two songs. And also, we'll be talking to Suzanne Taylor, who is a director and producer of the EBE award-winning film What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And our friend Laura De Leon will be singing one of her original, actually two of her original songs, and so she's releasing them there as well. So it's an evening of firsts, and it's a very special evening it's going to be. Yeah. What's the second song we're going to hear?
Life is beautiful.
Life is beautiful.
Life was beautiful.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It's a remembrance of something beautiful.
Okay. It's going to be the next single, actually.
Yeah.
She's going to release October 1st, the music video and so forth.
Now, you're all, we got it right in time where we got to get you today, and then we got the show on Wednesday, and then Thursday morning you all leave for Nashville to do the video for Life Was Beautiful, right?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. That's where the real legend of the Green Children store and everything and will make sense to everybody, because that's a whole other story entirely, which is magical.
The song?
No, the legend.
The legend of the Green Children.
That kind of fits into our life.
Oh, now, hold on. Now, this is a whole other thing. No, no, you're the Green Children, but you're fashioning the name after...
Well, we were looking for a name for the band, and Thomas actually chose Tom Morello. Sorry, I'm so used to,
call him Jack.
Yeah, Tom Morello. Can I say Tom Morello again? Okay, am I only allowed to say?
What would you like?
I'm fine with it.
Mr. Bevan to us.
Yes. Well, anyway, where was I?
The Legend of the Green Children.
Marlo chose the name, he came to me with it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I kind of like that, the Green Children. We weren't totally sure. Then we were like, okay, well, it represents a lot of beautiful things that we stand for, and lots of the forest, and it's a mysterious kind of name. And we were looking to see if anyone else had the name, and every time we put that in, it kept popping up, the legend of the Green Children. Mm. And it's a documented story about a boy and a girl.
Oh, really?
That were found in the medieval time. That came from a land that, you know, they described, they came from a land with no, like a twilight zone, and their skin was so white that the grass reflected on their skin, so they looked greenish, and all they ate were beans. They wouldn't touch any other food, and they spoke in a strange language, and it's just a whole, you have to go to the website to kind of listen and read into it. But anyway, we wanted to go deeper into this story. We thought it was very interesting.
I think so too.
Yeah, because when the little girl said she was from a land of twilight, I'm allergic to the sun, actually. And it was just a funny correlation. And
the land where twilight was?
No, basically they said that they came from a land with no sun, that was in perpetual twilight 24/7.
And you're allergic to the sun.
Yeah, so that was one from a theory. We thought that's quite strange. The girl was a little bit older than the boy. We thought that's a little strange.
And Milo is just a little older than you.
Yeah, and then we took a trip to this small village in England where the legend...
Ermila,
sorry. Yeah, right. The names are all over the place today, so it doesn't matter. Call me whatever you want.
So Sarah is... Okay, so... Yeah.
No, so we went to the village where the legend and the story comes from.
Really?
Because we just, you know, we felt really drawn to it, and we visited this tiny, quaint museum, and much to our surprise, this old guy opened it up, and there's these images, artists' images of what they thought the Green Children looked like. And of course, there's the boy with curly dark hair.
No.
And the girl with blonde hair.
No.
And then we find out even more things than that.
It's you.
Yeah. So the name chose it. And there's more. There's even more. One of the people who reported the legend was the Earl in the castle where I live now, and all these weird things.
Seriously?
Yeah, so the name
chosen. Wow, yes. I'm getting goosebumps.
So, yeah, so it's become a really big part of what we're doing, actually, and these next music videos, we really genuinely feel this name picked us, and we feel the magic in the name, and that's going to be a big part of our artistic expression throughout our music videos, and we're going to continue that story and legend like in the way that we see that we're meant to.
We're hoping to continue their story, because the boy and the girl died quite young. So,
oh, boy, yes.
And well, the boy died very young first, and then...
It's not too much information.
Yeah, it's not that much story continuing with their life, because they will probably come to Earth to do something together, but when the boy died, the girl kind of, I don't know, just disappeared, the whole...
So we believe we're back now to continue
continue the purpose, whatever that is, and we're just going to go on the path and see where it takes us.
Well, that is just great. Okay, so what what is that path? I know you're going to be singing a lot because you're excellent songwriters and you have beautiful intention in, mm-hmm. in what you write, but what is the overall message? Because you did say mm-hmm. that your next songs will be more about the legend and more indicative of who you all are. I think Hearing Now already is, but yeah. you're going to be saying more of what?
Well, I mean, it's very natural for us. We're always going to want to do good things and help people and animals and do what we can. But it's also important to create beautiful art. You know, the world needs romance and beautiful art and things to inspire people. So the best thing that we feel that we can do as musicians with the gift that we've been given is to create something beautiful and wholesome, you know, and hopefully that will create a positive ripple effect for someone else to want to create something beautiful, do something good, or be a better person, you know. But, you
Indeed.
Know, we don't know what the future brings. We don't have a path that's like totally planned. We're just going to listen to the universe and, you know, see what it tells us. So, yeah. We'll see.
Wow. This is totally boggling my mind because, you know, you talked about that you've got three songs that you're going to be releasing here in the next few months, right? And then the actual album doesn't come out until January, right? That's the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's 2010. So we were talking earlier how you weren't sure what to title it. I noticed that when you were with Universal Music, they said that the song, that the album would be In Power or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Enlightened or something. And now, now that you're on your own again, you're thinking of another title, which we don't need to say,
mm-hmm.
but I want to beg you to consider mm-hmm. the title being The Legend of the Green Children.
Okay.
I mean,
well, the thing is, what the
so much better.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a good idea. I guess what we're kind of seeing in the future is that we're kind of imagining doing three albums, and that's it. And the legend's going to kind of continue between the three of them. So therefore, that
part
legend,
one, part
yeah,
two, part three.
So in some way, it's going to be segregated like that. So we're not sure. You know, that might have a separate title then for those parts.
I see a movie. I'm so excited about this. Of course, I'm a fan already, but this is very exciting. Well, we'll get to talk more about this on Wednesday, and I look forward to it. And we get to hear you sing live, and you're going to play live. Tom Marlowe Bevan is going to play live, and Mila, did I mispronounce your last name? Is it Sundi or
Sundi, whatever you want it to be. Mila Sundi is how I pronounce it.
Okay.
But, you know,
I've been a lot about names on this show.
It's very important, evidently. Well, I am Filippo, and that's how I pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And I have had the pleasure here of getting to interview on our show the Green Children. Mila Sundi and Tom Marlowe Bevan, and we got to hear Me Now, and I want to remind everybody to go to thegreenchildren.org for the foundation, thegreenchildren.com to learn more about them, and also to go to iTunes and Amazon and download the song, and 50% of all the proceeds will go to their foundation. So I hope you two stick around in just a few minutes. We'll get to continue the conversation out there. We'll get to take some pictures, and we'll have some more fun.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, this has been great. The shows are getting more and more exciting for me, and surprising for me too. And want to thank Mark for bringing them on, and Antoine for introducing them to us. And now here we have State of the Universe Address with Dorothy Lee. Did you hear what they said, Dorothy, about the room?
No,
You didn't. You weren't listening to the show.
I was trying to, but it went off for a minute on my computer.
Oh, okay. Well, they were saying that, Mila was saying that I wish people could see this room, and someday they will. That there's so many crystals, and the energy in here is really beautiful, and I said that it was created by you. You should be an interior crystal decorator.
But my room has been described as Disneyland for spiritual adults.
Okay.
And I like that. So, and I really am excited about tonight's piece. I believe that almost all of our listeners have heard of Woody Harrelson. He's perhaps best known for his acting roles, such as his role as the bartender in the TV sitcom Cheers, as well as roles in films like White Man Can't Jump and No Country for Old Men. But aside from acting, Harrelson is also an outspoken environmentalist and, as I have just discovered, a poet. Thank you, Filippo, for finding this poem on YouTube and forwarding it to me. It tells us a whole lot about Woody and what he is here to do. I believe he is a part of the great shift of consciousness which is taking place. And by posting this video on YouTube, Woody is sharing a remarkable piece of his mind with the world. I would like to share these words with you now. Thoughts from Within by Woody Harrelson. I sometimes feel like an alien creature for which there is no earthly explanation. Sure, I have human form, walking erect and opposing digits, but my mind is upside down. I feel like a run-on sentence in a punctuation crazy world, and I see the world around me like a mad collective dream. An endless stream of people move like ants on the freeway. Cell phones, PCs, and digital displays. In money we trust, we'll find happiness, the prevailing attitude, like a genetically modified, irradiated Big Mac is somehow symbolic of food. Morality is legislated, prisons overpopulated, religion is incorporated. The profit motive has permeated all activity. We pay our government to let us park on the street, and war is the biggest moneymaker of all. We all know missile envy only comes from being small. Politicians and prostitutes are comfortable together. I wonder if they talk about this strange change in the weather. This government was founded by, of, and for the people, but everybody feels it like a giant open sore. They don't represent us anymore. And blaming the president for the country's woes is like yelling at a puppet for the way it sings. Who's the man behind the curtain pulling the strings? A billion people sitting watching their TV in the room that they call living. But as for me, I see living as loving. And since there is no loving room, I sit on the grass under a tree, dreaming of the way things used to be. Pre-industrial revolution, which of course is before the rivers and oceans and skies were polluted, before Parkinson's and mad cows and all of the convoluted cacophony of bad ideas, like skyscrapers and tree paper and earth rapers, like Monsanto and DuPont had their way, as they continue to do today. This was pre-us. Back when the buffalo roamed and the Indian's home was the forest and God was nature and heaven was here and now. Can you imagine clean water, food, and air, living in a community with animals and people who care? Do you dare to feel responsible for every dollar you lay down? Are you going to make the rich man richer, or are you going to stand your ground? You say you want a revolution, a communal evolution, to be a part of the solution. Maybe I'll be seeing you around. Well, thank you, Woody, for some very interesting thoughts and for giving us a peek inside your mind. I, for one, am ready for the shift and the change and will be seeing you soon. You can find Woody's video with the poem spoken by him at our website, www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com, by clicking onto the life-changing media in the navigation bar. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. Wow, that is so great. It just feels like everybody is getting in on this exciting I'd say opportunity for change, and it all feels so good, and I can't wait to meet Woody and have him on the show, and we've talked about that, and so many other people who are out there doing so much of what we call changing the world or being the change that they wish to see in the world. And there are so many people that are saying so many wonderful things, and I have to share this just email came today from a lady I don't know, and like I was saying in the beginning of the show, how people are writing us from all over saying thank you for doing this show, thank you for this and that. I was just recently asked to interview, actually one of our producers, Mark Lejeure, knew this lady, April Crawford, who channels an entity called Veronica. And so he asked me if I would be interested as part of the show in interviewing her on video. And I said, of course, let's do. And we did. And it was quite interesting. And so you'll see snippets of the interview up on YouTube. I just saw that it was posted just the other day. But I was interviewing Veronica, this entity that comes through April Crawford, and I was asking questions and doing my thing. And in so doing, it gets posted up on YouTube, and I have nothing to do with this except I was there and I was asking the questions. And so here is this person who hears that, hi, I'm Filippo, and I'm not even, you don't even see me, you see her. I'm Filippo, and I'm interviewing Veronica as part of Life Changes with Filippo. And this person, Emily, goes and seeks us out so she could write us and tell us this. She says, hi, I just wanted to say thank you for the interview with April Crawford / Veronica. It was exactly what I needed to hear. I love Filippo's voice, sense of humor, and especially that he asked the very questions I would have asked. I can tell you, I can't tell you how grateful I am. I feel like my life has changed just from that interview. I also looked at your website for the first time today and love what I saw and read. Nice to know that there are so many of us out there. I will be sharing this with my friends. Blessings to you, Emily. Well, Emily, yours was one of the emails that brought a tear to my eye, because here we are, two people who do not know each other at all. At least we don't know that we do, maybe on another level, and that we're connecting on a whole other level. But in the meantime, through this video, through this media, through you going through YouTube and finding April Crawford / Veronica, and getting to hear me and a little bit about what I'm about and what our show is about because of the questions I'm asking, etc., you felt this connection, and you say that you feel like your life has changed just from that interview. So it is our mission to be doing more and more of these interviews so more and more people could feel like their life is changing and they can help other people's lives change. And that's what, when I was talking to the Green Children before the interview on air, that's what they were saying, is they wanted to draw attention away from them. It's not about them. It's about the work that they do. It's about the energy that they bring, and their hope is that they can inspire people to then go out and inspire more people. And I can say that I've been inspired by them, and I know that somebody has been inspired by this interview on the show today. And I invite all of you who are local to Los Angeles to come to our live event on Wednesday to meet them in person, hear them sing and perform their music, as well as my friend Laura DeLeon and our friend Suzanne Taylor, and all the host of people that are going to be part of the show. And we have some surprises that we can't wait till we get to present them to you all. So that's this Wednesday at 7:30 here in Los Angeles, but all the information is on our website at www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com. So with that, it just seems like this show goes by so quickly, and that is our show for today. Again, we'd like to thank the Green Children, Mila and Marlo, for being on our show today, and invite you to learn more about them by going to our show archives on our website and clicking on the respective links for more information. We look forward to being together again next week when we have our guest, Suzanne Taylor. Again, Suzanne, who will be at our live event, is the director and producer of the EBE award-winning film, What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. So we'll get to show a clip of Suzanne's work, and we'll get to talk to her about what these crop circles are, where do they come from, who puts them there, and what are they trying to say. Suzanne has actually been there and has felt the energy, and she has so much to share about it. Can't wait to share that with you. So it's going to be a show not to be missed. And remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us on our website and by visiting us on Facebook and being part of our fan page and all that good stuff. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. And to learn more about them, you can also visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. Well, as you know, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our producers, Dorothy Lee, Mark Legere, and Mark Skelton, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us in being a part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.